When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
My Seven Chakras, episode 369.
The Seven Chakras. Swirling vortices of energy positioned throughout our body from the base of the spine to the crown of the head. For thousands of years, this ancient wisdom has been passed on from master to disciple. What are the functions of these energy centers? And could these chakras help you unlock your destiny and find your true purpose? Welcome to My Seven Chakras, and now your host, Aditya Jai Kumar.
What's up, Action Tribe? AJ here, host and founder of My Seven Chakras, mysevenchakras.com, the show where we help you experience effortless healing, awakening, and abundance. In today's episode, we talk about some really amazing and inspiring topics, including the therapeutic quality of sound, throat singing, the vibration of the cosmos, and unity consciousness, and much more. So make sure that you stay till the very end. But before diving in, I'd like to remind you that we have recently launched our premier energy mentorship experience called the Action Tribe Energy Circle. You'll find the links in the show notes. If you want to master your energies, raise your vibrations, and learn from some of the most experienced energy mentors out there, then you must absolutely check out this program. The link you need is mysevenchakras.com/join. mysevenchakras.com/join. All right, so let's bring on our guest for today, Matthew Cosell. Based in Vancouver, BC, Matthew is a leader in the world sound healing movement, an accomplished throat singer, multi-instrumentalist, and recording artist. He is also a committee member of the Global Wellness Institute Sound Healing Initiative, affectionately known as the Cosmic Throat Singer. Matthew uses his voice and acoustic instruments to create a sonic environment that seems to bend the very fabric of time and space. Having recently returned from a tour in New York, Europe, and the Western US, Matthew's third album, Sound of the Ancients, is due for release this spring. So Matthew, welcome to the show, and are you ready to inspire?
Yes, I am.
Great. So let's start from the very beginning. So where did you grow up and what was your childhood like?
Well, I was traveling from the time I was in the womb. I was conceived in New Jersey and born in Alaska. And from there, my family moved to Virginia on the east coast of the U.S. and then to France, then Germany, then back to Virginia, and then to Colorado, and which is where I lived until my early 40s when I married my Canadian wife and I moved to the Vancouver area. So my father was an officer in the U.S. Air Force and veteran pilot from World War II. And this is why we moved around so much. On our way to Europe and back, we traveled across the Atlantic by ship. So I feel like the exposure to the size of the earth and multiple different cultures really affected my worldview.
Got it. So a lot of travel, especially as a child, and it affected your worldview, which I can understand. I've not traveled that much, just to a few places, but I can see how when you interact with different people and you understand different perspectives and you see people in different situations, it opens up your mind and it opens up your heart also, more importantly. So thanks a lot for sharing that with us. So what made you move to Vancouver then?
Love. In 1999, I went to a retreat in Mount Shasta, California, and I met this amazing woman who would eventually be my wife. And she had come to this same retreat from Vancouver. And we had a long distance relationship for about 4 years before we got married. And I never thought that I would leave the sunny environment of Colorado to live in the, you know, the Pacific Northwest, where we have the water element. But I'm very happy to be here. I've fallen in love with this area and with the whole ecosystem and the people here. I'm very happy to be here.
Wonderful. So Mount Shasta is one of the chakra centers, right? Or the energy vortices on the earth?
Yes. I have been to many powerful places, and I count Mount Shasta as one of the most magnificent. I feel like going there, obviously had a big impact on my life as I met my wife and life partner. It is one of these places that feels like a spiritual vortex, where the spiritual energy is high and spiritual awareness in the people that are drawn there. And a lot of people, I have friends that have experienced mystical events on the mountain. I didn't have anything really extraordinary, you know, cosmic that happened there that was, you know, that would jump out at you. But I could feel a lot of energy there, and it's a beautiful experience.
Wonderful. Thanks a lot for sharing. And that's true. I mean, a lot of places, you might not have a paranormal experience or a cosmic experience, but you can definitely feel the energy over there. Now, I've not been to Mount Shasta myself, but I have been to Vancouver Island, and I feel a lot of vibrations and frequencies on the island. And I feel that if I move there, and it's going to be conducive to my further awakening. It's just a wonderful place to be in. So speaking about mystical experiences, did you ever have a mystical or spiritual experience as a child?
Actually, I did. I grew up in a family that was, on spiritually pretty middle of the road in the USA. We would go to church every Sunday, and I grew up believing in a higher power, you know, what some people call God. And it's very interesting because when I was about 12 years old, my church youth group went to see a movie that was aimed towards youth to get them, you know, encourage them to become Christians. And I was just having a good time being with my friends. And afterward, after the movie ended, they put out the call, you know, anyone who wants to dedicate your life to God, come down here, we'll pray with you. And I had no plans of participating in this, but in that moment, I now recognize that my crown chakra opened. I felt a distinct, incredible energy zap me from the top of my head that went through my whole body. And it almost lifted me out of my chair, and I kind of zombie walked down the aisle and did the ritual. I already at that point was considering myself what we call a Christian, but this was something that I'd never experienced before. I had no frame of reference for this. It would be decades before I would learn what a chakra is. And I actually, at that point, was quite disenfranchised from my family and most of the authority figures in my life. I wasn't happy in my family. And so I didn't have any adults that I could trust enough to talk about this experience with. And certainly there was no one in my circle that would understand what I had gone through. And also, as deep as an experience as this was, I wasn't able to maintain that vibration. And I had a questioning mind. I was questioning a lot of the dogma that was being presented through this particular church path, and questioning perhaps the accuracy of the translations of the scripture that, you know, they're telling me is the perfect word of God. And, questioning the threat of punishment in the afterlife if I didn't, you know, do everything perfectly, or questioning the threat of being left behind in the event of a rapture, you know, where all the true believers are taken away and everyone else is left to suffer under the Antichrist. You know, these things didn't really resonate with me. And so as a young teen, I threw it all away and I rejected that path. And I had nothing to replace it with. And so I was quite troubled, and I got in a lot of trouble as a young teenager, and rebelled. And really the only thing that moved me and really spoke to me was some certain music. And so music, I feel, gave me a lifeline. It might have saved my life. And there were certain bands that brought me to a higher place. So just for context, I was growing up, this is during the 1970s. Mm-hmm. And so there's like progressive rock bands, like, for example, Yes or Moody Blues, Pink Floyd maybe is in that circle. These would take me to other places. And I really had a desire to recreate that and share that with other people. Mm-hmm. Also, going to small gatherings and parties, and occasionally there would be someone with an acoustic guitar playing songs, and you know, seeing people sing along and feeling that communal experience. And this was inspiring to me as well. And I, even though I didn't, in retrospect, I wasn't overly talented at as a musician, I after trying different instruments as a child, I gravitated to guitar, and in high school started picking up acoustic guitar and playing songs and singing. And that was a huge step because I had withdrawn my voice. Being the youngest child in my family and not feeling heard and acknowledged and having my needs understood, I had withdrawn and I wasn't communicating with my parents and my brothers and the people that I, you know, needed to communicate with. So finding the courage to sing in front of people was a huge step in opening my throat chakra. So I studied music in university for 2 years. In my second year of university, I chose to live at home with my parents as my father was in the process of dying from cancer. And I had changed my main instrument from guitar to bass guitar for my second year of university. And on the side, started my first rock band. And so I was commuting to school with my bandmate and classmate, and we were both very much inspired by Jimi Hendrix, and particularly around that time. So I was reading the biography of Jimi Hendrix. It's a book called Voodoo Child of the Aquarian Age. And while my friend was driving us to school, I was reading the book, and I didn't notice that he had put a tape in the stereo. And while I turned a page and I started reading lyrics to a song I had never heard before by Jimi. And the moment my eyes started reading these lyrics, Jimi Hendrix was singing them on the stereo in perfect timing. It could not have been timed more perfectly. So I read a few lines as he was singing, and then I realized what was happening and stopped. And of course, I just had this flood of chills cascading through my body. And, you know, I felt like this is a sign. What sign can one ask for? Whether it was from Jimi Hendrix or the universe, God, what have you, you know, I've made a vow at that point that whatever it takes, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make it happen. You know, in my young mind, I thought this was meant I was going to be a rock star. so that vow of whatever it takes is a hard road.
Wonderful story.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for sharing. Now, one of the first songs that I played on my guitar, I'm not a expert, but I do play the guitar whenever I get a chance. And one of the first songs was Californication by Red Hot Chili Pepper. Uh-huh. I just love that song for the harmonics and for the bass, one of the best bass guitarists. But that sort of led me down the road of, you know, listening more to music, rock, alternative rock. And I was just discussing this with my friend the other day, but when you're in a band, it's like a different form of harmonics, right? Because you're sort of ensuring that you're tuned in with the bass guitarist and the drummer and everyone's in sync, and that feeling when the music begins and that connection with the audience, it's like a different level of resonance altogether, which I guess only a musician can understand. And also you mentioned about Pink Floyd. I remember when I was in, I guess, undergraduate, I did some weed. I don't smoke weed right now. But in those days in India, especially because of the music scene, I was smoking some weed. And my friend had this Pink Floyd music. And I remember one of the albums that they played was very experimental. I forgot the name of the album, but I think it was Uma Guma or some long word. But it was so experimental. And like you've rightly pointed, it has the effect of taking you to a different place and a different time altogether, especially with the addition of marijuana, right? But yeah, so thanks a lot for sharing that. And you've told us what were some of the bands that influenced you and the fact that you had this synchronicity. So what are your thoughts on synchronicity? Because I speak to a lot of people who listen to our show, and they have something happened to them, which cannot be coincidental. And it seems to happen again and again. So what do you make of this? Is this the universe trying to tell you something? Is this your subconscious mind trying to get you to a certain place that you need to be? Or is it something else?
I feel that this is a wholly interactive universe. And that is the subconscious mind and the superconscious mind, our body, our soul, all of it is interacting all the time. And, you know, we hear a lot of people talking about, you know, you create your own reality, you know, all of this. Well, everyone's doing that. So, And we live on the same planet. So we're in this, we're all co-creating at the same time. And so there is obviously overlap. I remember I heard someone say a joke that they're talking about the new age armed robber who would ask his victims, "What did you do to draw me to you?" So I think we can get a little hung up on, you know, we're creating our own reality because other people are also doing that and we have overlap. But that being said, I think it's all interactive, whether the universal plan and our soul path. You know, I've surrendered trying to figure it out completely, but it definitely appears to me that everything that we're in our existence here in this life is interactive with the whole cosmos.
Interesting. So what happens next after you're listening to that song of Jimi Hendrix and you're reading the lyrics? What are some of the next steps you take that get you closer and closer towards your becoming a musician?
Well, my father died that year, and that was my last year of university. I quit school, and I moved to the nearest big city to join a rock band. And so I was living in Colorado. So the big city for me was Denver. And so that's where I moved. And I had an invitation to join a band that was going to be working steadily in bars, playing in bars on a circuit. In those days, a lot of the bars would have live music. It was quite common. And so there were a lot of bands that would make their living playing cover tunes, other bands' music. And you would play usually four sets a night, if not more, 5 to 6 nights a week, and then travel to the next town. And it was not much money, but just enough to survive. And that for me was gratifying at first because I was a professional musician. And I was actually in the company of some experienced musicians who had a lot to teach me musically, and also ultimately give me lessons on how not to live. Mm. So there's a lot of dysfunction that I found myself surrounded by as well.
Wonderful. Yeah. Got it. So at what point did you discover the therapeutic quality of sound when it comes to sound for healing, for awakening, and for attracting more abundance, I guess, and manifestation? When did that happen?
It was a long process because as I was playing in these bands, after a couple of years, the glamour wore off of, you know, just playing on a regular basis, playing other people's music. I realized this wasn't going to get me where I wanted to go. So I began forming original music projects. Well, the market was a lot smaller for this. So that meant I needed to find a day job. And so I'd have my evenings free to rehearse and compose and go perform in local taverns and bars, hopefully looking for some kind of break where we could get into a larger stage and somehow maybe find our way to one of the coast, the East Coast or West Coast, to get signed by a record deal, because this is way before internet. And in those days, you needed a record deal if you're going to have any type of what they considered success. So again, this was a really hard road, and I find myself working in jobs that I would rather forget about. And my spirit was crying out, because I never did find a replacement for the religion that I had rejected. And so I had this void, and I'm a person who needs a connection to higher power, God, whatever you want to call it. And so I was slowly getting depressed, more and more depressed. And in that desperation, that spiritual desperation, and the darkest places that I found in my life, I got to a point where I just realized, what am I doing? I need to find a path. I actually literally slapped myself across the face because I was actually found myself thinking about ending my life because I was that miserable. And so I slapped myself and I said, stop this, go out there and look, there is a way, go find a path. So I went to a bookstore and I started searching. The book that jumped out at me that I ended up taking home was called Inner Power Secrets from Tibet and the Orient. And in this book, I learned about the chakras and prana, chi, energy, the power of focused breath and intention and meditation, and had some real practices that I could dive into. And I did. About 6 months later, I went into a metaphysical store for the first time. Never seen one of these places before, but my girlfriends took me there. And the moment we walked in the door, I heard this sound that I'd never heard before. And they were playing a recording of the Gyuto monks from Tibet. And this is a group of monks who do a deep overtone chant. And I didn't know what a mantra was yet. And they had this really loud, playing it really loud on the stereo system. So I walk into this wall of sound and I asked, what is this? And they said, it's Tibetan monks. And then, you know, I'm so into this book, Inner Power Secrets from Tibet and the Orient. I'm like, this is another one of those moments, like Jimi Hendrix singing out in stereo, the lyrics that I'm reading. I just knew I had to have this. And so I bought the tape. This was in the late 80s, so still cassette tapes. And brought the tape home and started listening repeatedly and meditating to it and trying to mimic their sound. I couldn't. I thought they were singing really low, but that's not it. It's a form of throat singing. And so this was percolating in me for a few years. I still continued my path of putting together musical projects, looking for that dream band to coalesce. And they kept breaking up. You know, we would form these bands, put all this work into it. And for one reason or another, personality differences or goal differences, you know, the bands would break up and start over again. And finally, in 1994, I had my final band. It was called Critical Mass, which is kind of ironic in retrospect. But we were quite a progressive musical group. And I loved the music and I loved the guys that I was playing with. I'm still good, close friends with all of them. But I knew I needed to make a change. And my soul was yearning for a more spiritual life and a spiritually oriented life and a holistic, more holistic lifestyle. So I've been thinking about getting into healing arts, and I've been reading about things like Reiki and energy healing. I knew I was good with my hands. I'd like to give massage to my brothers and people in my family and anyone who was close to me. I would put my healing hands on them and they loved it. So I was thinking about becoming a massage therapist, but I had no plan. And my day job at the time, I was a manager of a burlesque club, a high dollar, fancy, big flashy burlesque club in Denver, Colorado. And I'd been there for 5 years at that point. I realized I needed to get out of there. So on my annual vacation, I took my girlfriend at the time camping in the beautiful mountains of Colorado, which is where I would always go whenever I had a moment, you know, to get away from the city and get away from all the madness. I would go up to the mountains. And during this time, my girlfriend, we're driving around South Park, Colorado, of all places. and she saw some boulders on top of a mountain that we're driving by. She said, I want to go climb on those. And I didn't really understand why she, why those, why this place. There was no trail going up there, but we went straight up this mountain, and we got to the top, and it was almost as if the words poured out of me because I had never imagined this would happen. We got to the top, and I said, I wonder if there's any crystals around here. And the moment I said that, I turned and I looked, and this crystal was shining in the sunlight. And I went and picked it up, and my life changed. I felt like I was being watched. And I picked it up, and I said, you know, wow. And so I held this for the rest of the day.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And by the end of the day, there was so much energy coming off the crystal, I had to get it out of my hands. I couldn't hold it. It's just like overwhelming.
Right.
So fast forward a few more days, and we're driving back to the city, and I'm holding my crystal, driving back to Denver, just getting depressed, thinking about going back to this environment that I didn't want to be in anymore, and knowing I'd had to change my life. I kept saying over and over, I have to get out of there. I can't do this anymore. And I showed up for work the next morning, and my boss was waiting outside the door with my final check in his hand. And he was letting me go because he couldn't afford to pay my salary anymore. He was actually slowly losing money, ended up having to sell the club. And this was it. I was set free. Well, my band, Critical Mass, we had an appointment to go into the studio that very week and record a demo. And one of the last analog studios that existed in Denver, Colorado, we recorded on tape. And so we had a very small budget, but we recorded four songs over the course of 5 nights. We never got to do a final mix on it, but music, I still love it. I love to listen to it. And I think it was stellar. But the band broke up 2 months later. Once again, like all these other bands, with all my hopes and dreams built into them, a difference of opinion and what direction we should take. And boom, one of the key guys left and he wasn't really replaceable. We tried. And I realized at that point, I'm done. So I gave up music. I gave up on music and I quit playing. I put my bass aside. I occasionally would pick up my acoustic guitar, but my heart wasn't in it. And I went to massage therapy school, started getting my Reiki training. I got into every form of meditation I could find. I started visiting a local Krishna temple, which was my first exposure to mantra. I learned about mantras and the power of Sanskrit language, the vibrational essence of Sanskrit. And I was feeling it as I began to chant certain mantras. And this led me to begin holding meditation circles in my home. One day I just decided I need to start holding meditation circles here in my living room. And so I put out a call to everyone I knew, invited them over for a guided meditation circle, pulled all the furniture out of my living room, put cushions down and instant ashram, you know? And interestingly, people started to come and they enjoyed their experience. And they were having almost paranormal experiences right away during these guided meditations. And so I was really intrigued with the voice. I'm still listening to the Tibetan monks, the one tape of the Gyotō monks. And eventually, during a guided meditation, I started to chant an om, a long om, because I couldn't find English words to fully express what I was perceiving and feeling. And as I did that, people told me afterwards that they could really feel my voice or energy triggered by my voice moving through them and around them. So this really caught my attention. And I was also hearing more texture or frequencies in my voice than I had expected when I did an om. And when I was chanting mantras, I had been experimenting with slowing down the pronunciation of the mantras. And I was hearing harmonics or additional notes coming out of my voice as I slowed down these words. So this is how I dipped my toe in the water of sound healing. And this is how music eventually came back to me, was om, through healing and meditation and healing my life and healing my heart and reconnecting with my spiritual path or finding my spiritual path. That's how music became the meditation over time. and music became, something that I started incorporating into my one-on-one sessions, doing massage and energy work. And now I still do personal healing sessions, which include touch and sound. But mostly it's a group thing where I might be a small group in a small location or a full-on concert. But my intention and the purpose of this music that's coming through me now is to help us remember our connection to this interactive universe and our connection to our source, our cosmic source, our connection to Mother Earth, and our connection to each other and every aspect of life here in this realm.
Now we'll be back after a short word from our sponsor, Curable. Action Tribe, are you experiencing chronic pain of any kind? Whether it's back pain, migraines, fibromyalgia, or any persistent pain across your body. I've done numerous interviews on this subject on my podcast, and I've personally met friends and family members who deal with such pain on a daily basis. So I'm always on the lookout for a solution that can really help you, because this pain affects your work, your relationships, your family life, and pretty much every area of your life, right? And recently I came across a company called Curable that is onto something amazing. Now, they've got an app that has a personal assistant guided by artificial intelligence that will guide you through various science-backed techniques designed to help you overcome fear of movement, fear of symptoms, and fear of never becoming pain-free. They've got many actionable strategies, education, meditation, journaling, and brain training that can literally retrain your brain's response to pain and reduce the intensity and the frequency of your pain symptoms. For example, one of their exercises is called word swapping. You see, the words that you use on an ongoing basis to describe your pain can influence pain signals in your body and either enhance or decrease the actual experience. So if you slowly change your words through linguistic exercises, it can actually slowly but surely reduce your pain. So let's say to describe your pain currently, you say that you feel a stabbing pain. So instead of that, try saying, I feel less comfortable than I'd like to. So you're admitting that you have the pain, you're not ignoring it, but at the same time, you're using the word comfort, or you're calling it sensation instead of pain. And studies have shown that just a word swap like that, along with other exercises, can literally train your brain to reduce the pain. Wow. Not actually rhymes, but truly, you don't have to suffer in pain alone. This app is really worth checking out. Curable offers both a free and a paid version of the app. If you use our link to sign up and get started with a free version, you'll get 50% off if you ever decide to upgrade to a subscription. You don't have to pay right now. Just give it a try and see how you like it. Just go to getcurable.com/ActionTribe to set up your free account. That's getcurable.com/ACTIONTRIBE. Once again, getcurable.com/ActionTribe.
Well, thanks a lot for sharing that. A lot of questions I have right now based on what you've shared. Firstly, if you don't mind sharing, so there was a phase where you were desperate for a change, right? You wanted to change. You were in a band, but deep down from a soul level, you wanted to change so much that you had suicidal thoughts as well. So what age were you at that point?
I was in my later 20s, I think 27 years old, 28 years old, around there.
27, 28. Okay. So you're 27, 28. Okay, sorry.
I was going to say, in astrology, that would be considered the Saturn return. And this is a cycle where we consider, you know, why am I here? And I was definitely, that was in my face. Why am I here? What is my purpose here? And I didn't really have an answer.
Okay. So you had these questions in your mind about why am I here? What is my purpose? What am I supposed to do? And this wanting to change. And I'm sure, like, I've had this experience as well. I've had numerous people who I speak to have this experience where this question comes to your mind, right? Like suicidal thoughts about, you know, ending life or what is the point of all this? And then obviously you persisted and you did so many other things and you had this idea of, you know, bringing people to your home for a guided meditation, you know, and you took these steps, right? So what kept you going? What kept you going on, even though there was a lot of confusion and overwhelm and spiritual suffering, so to speak, and I'm sure a lot of darkness as well. What keeps you going even in the midst of all this darkness and inner turmoil?
Well, during the darkest times, there were still moments that music delivered me to, you know, this ecstasy, a feeling of ecstasy and a transpersonal experience through music. Sound and music really, you know, kept me alive during that time, gave me something to hope for. And I wanted to stay in that place, you know, that feeling of connection that came through there. There's a sense of purpose in that. And it was, you know, living in a society that didn't acknowledge these things that, you know, if I would have spoken of them, or I felt, you know, if I would have spoken of this, that I would have been considered, you know, stupid or flighty or, you know, flaky.
I mean, especially of late, I've been getting these sensations of extreme sadness and I guess angst. And I've been thinking, I've never had these feelings before. And then I'm realizing that maybe because there's an empath within me, I'm sort of sensing the feelings and emotions and thoughts of other people, because there is a lot of fear going on, right? A lot of fear and worry about what's going to happen tomorrow and uncertainty. And so I did a 1-hour breathwork session last night, and that completely changed my state. I mean, whenever I do breathwork, I usually do it for about 25, 30 minutes, but yesterday was a 1-hour long session, and I could feel the purplish color in my third eye, and I could actually see the 1,000-petal lotus, not in its complete, you know, technicolor or multi-dimensional aspect, but I could see an essence of it. And that was beautiful. And that reminded me of the truth, which is oneness. So talk to us about oneness. And you say that in your music and in your performances and in your sessions, you help people experience that oneness. So what is that oneness? And how does sound and music help us experience that?
Well, you know, it's an ancient practice that humans have been doing since the dawn of time, you know, since we existed. And, you know, for everyone, you know, if we travel down our DNA trail through time, you know, at some point our ancestors were gathering around a fire, singing and chanting and experiencing this oneness, this expanded state of consciousness. And the medicine people would use sound and music to help us heal our bodies, connect with nature on a deeper level, and make connection with the spirit realm. And they understood that everything that is in physical form in this universe is essentially vibration. And it's encoded in creation myths from around the world, where the god, goddess, or deity speaks, chants, or sings the world or the universe into existence. And even in the path that I was raised in the Bible, it's referenced there. It says, in the beginning was the word. God said, let there be light. So this is illustrating that sound from pure consciousness or the void, pure, you know, essence, I am presence, moved and created vibration, and the universe took form. And as our culture in the West would look at these things as metaphors or something to accept purely on faith or just dismiss as fairy tales. But, you know, and we've made advances recently in science and technology as our scientists were searching for the smallest particles of matter. When they developed the means to see an atom finally, they found that it's mostly nothing. But within this empty void are manifestations of electric and magnetic energy. And these, we measure them in frequency. How often do these show up in time and space? And so, you know, one could say that these energies harmonize to form atoms, molecules, cells, bodies, planets, and everything in between. And as we explored the universe, we see that all the heavenly bodies are in a constant state of movement or vibration on a larger level. So the planets are spinning on their axes and spinning around stars. The stars spin around black holes in the centers of the galaxies, and the galaxies are moving through space at incredible rates of speed that we can hardly understand as humans. So quite literally, everything is vibration at every level of existence. And this is, to me, means that sound is the threshold point where mind becomes matter, thought becomes form, or scripturally, where the word becomes flesh. And this is a shaped my relationship with sound and music now, because there is a potential within any vibration when used with this intention to make a deeper connection, that we can ride that sound wave to find a part of ourself that is already in total communion with the universe. You know, it's beyond the personality, and it is an understanding beyond words, beyond dogma, beyond faith. You know, it goes beyond all of that. It just is. We are a part of us that is already there. And we can understand these things conceptually, that everything is connected, everything is vibration. And you hear this as a catchphrase now, you know, it's becoming a popular thing to say. It's all connected. It's all vibration. But when we have the feeling experience of this, and when we can feel beyond the boundaries of our skin or perceive beyond the boundaries of time and space, this is a game changer. And when we are having this experience, I have seen there can be shifts that occur in the physical body, in the mental body, in the emotional body, in the energetic body, and in our relationship to the spiritual realm. And it's been an amazing blessing to bear witness to this for many years now. So that's how my relationship evolved from just wanting to inspire people with music as I was inspired, and maybe find a way to get to that place that I didn't have any words for, to total connection and finding that oneness. Sound with the right application can help us get there.
Wonderful. Thanks a lot for sharing. Now, I want to make this easier for some of our listeners to sort of understand. Many of our listeners are maybe in transit, or maybe at home, or maybe in different parts of the world, because we have people listening in from over 150 countries, far away from Canada and USA for sure. But what's happening during one of your live sound healing events? I know you do different types of sound healing events, but as a spectator or as an audience member or as a person partaking in the event, listening to your sound, what exactly is happening? If you can give us an overview into, because I've seen numerous descriptions about what's happening there. They're immersed in an ocean of sound, or there's a sound curtain, or maybe they're getting tuned in. So help us understand what's happening.
Well, I think the most important aspect is the state of my heart, because I feel that's the most important instrument, regardless of what physical instruments I might be playing, which I used all acoustic. I don't do any electronic instruments or any looping effects to layer the sounds. And with the voice creating overtones, we can talk about that in a moment. But I think the state of my heart is what is being transmitted through the sound waves. And the music that I have discovered, or that comes to me now, comes from this place of connection. And so that is relayed to the audience, or whoever is participating. It might be just one person, you know, or a whole hundreds. And as that opens up in me, it opens up in other and everyone who is present. And so this creates a group energy field, a collective energy field that allows us all to go deeper more rapidly than we can by ourselves. I always feel that, you know, I could play my music by myself and it feels good. Feels great, and I can go places with that. But if there's at least one person to receive and reflect, then everything is magnified exponentially. And so with each audience, it feels like a different energy signature. But the audience participation, just by actively listening and being intent to be present, takes it all to a new level. So I work with overtones or harmonics with my voice. That's the essence of throat singing or overtone singing. And the overtones and harmonics are interchangeable terms. They mean the same thing. I can explain what they are this way. If we pluck a single string, let's say on a guitar, we hear the note, or we register the note, we recognize the note that the string is tuned to, because there are a certain number of vibrational waves emanating from the string as it vibrates.
Yeah.
Well, that wave pattern doubles on itself and then multiplies on itself into infinity. And those multiplications of the fundamental note are harmonics or overtones. These are like extra notes added on to it. And when throat singing or overtone singing, I am shaping the sound that comes from my vocal cords, shaping the sound in my physical instrument, in my mouth, in my jaw, lips, tongues, teeth, sinuses, to amplify specific overtones or harmonics so they are more audible to the human ear. we all have these tones in our voice. We just don't hear them. We haven't learned to, or we've forgotten how to hear them. And so with the overtone singing, throat singing, we amplify specific ones to create melodies on top of what the vocal cords are doing, and sometimes multiple tones. I actually had my voice run through a spectrum analyzer last year, and they tracked 9 notes happening at once.
Mm.
So that was pretty cool.
Got it. So I'm imagining that the way that you explained it, which I love, by the way, is that a person standing on the coastline or on the beach, and then there's a huge wave, there's a sound wave coming towards him or her. But on that sound wave, there are multiple overtones. They're sort of riding that wave, and that sound wave sort of hits them, and they experience ecstasy. Right? So,
well said.
So in terms of the frequencies that you're trying to create over here, are you intentional with creating certain type of frequencies? Because I've heard that there are certain healing frequencies, right? The solfeggio notes and things like that. So is there some intention in that part?
Yeah, I'm very aware of the research that's going into the solfeggio and the 432 hertz and all that. And it all makes sense to me on a logical level. That being said, none of my instruments are tuned specifically to these frequencies.
Okay.
You know, one of the main instruments I use is harmonium. So it's not even in concert pitch, you know, the controversial 440 440 tuning. It's not even there, but it's not 432. And I've come to the conclusion, at least in my case, it's the relationship between the tones that is even more important. And then again, beneath that is the state of my heart. And that's what's really being broadcast on the sound waves. You know, there's a lot of, you see like crystal bowl sets, crystal singing bowl set sold for one for every chakra. Well, I find this particular phenomenon to be quite arbitrary because, you know, they're assuming that everyone's base chakra, for example, is the note C. In the Western concert pitch, you know, and so I'm thinking, my critical mind is thinking, well, did chakras exist before Western music was invented? I would think so. And how is it that you know, everyone is D, you know, A440 D note for your base chakra? And that being said, who am I to say that if someone has a set of these bowls and they intend that each bowl will go to a specific chakra for everyone, that doesn't work? It can, because that would be their intention. The sound and the energy that we project through sound is absolutely malleable. It can be for harm, it can be for good. And you know, I'm assuming that most sound practitioners that go out and invest in bowls are wanting to do good with their practice and with their music. And the first crystal bowl that I ever bought was tuned to the note D. Again, not exactly to concert tuning, and certainly not exactly to the 432 hertz or solfeggio frequencies. But I could play that for a room full of people, and everyone would tell me afterwards that they felt in a different part of their body.
Mm.
So when people would ask me, what chakra does that bowl work with? My stock answer became, this is a magical bowl, and I've programmed it to go exactly where it's needed, because that was my intention.
Yeah.
Action Tribe, are you finding it hard to de-stress and unwind in the midst of this crazy pandemic? Come join us for a soothing, relaxing breathwork session online on Zoom. Now, I do these sessions for our paid members twice a week, and I've received so many powerful testimonials from people who've received a lot of support, comfort, and healing from these sessions. And to show you just how powerful these yogic breathwork practices are, every month I do a breathwork intro workshop for people who'd like to give this a shot. In the past, people have paid anywhere between $10 to $20 for a drop-in, but for a short while, I've decided to make these sessions available for just 50 cents a ticket. And these sessions are live, but you just pay 50 cents. So if you'd like to learn how to calm your mind, relax your nervous system, and experience deep states of bliss using your breath from the comfort of your home, visit mysevenchakras.com/breathworkintro. That's mysevenchakras.com/breathworkintro. I'll see you soon.
Yes, that's so interesting because I'm also finding that intention and attention is all there is. And if you use your intention or your imagination in the right way, then it can penetrate and it can go around the entire world and the universe. So thanks a lot for sharing and reminding us of the importance of intention. So Action Tribe, I hope you enjoyed today's session so far. As we make our way towards the end of this episode, remember this, sound can heal. There are so many mysteries that lie in the invisible world, and there are so many waves of light bouncing around the walls around you that you can't even see. There are so many waves of sound around you that you cannot perceive. But luckily, you do have ears that can capture a spectrum of that sound. And when you tune in to the right sound, the right melody, the right note, it can lead to spontaneous healing and awakening and manifestation. And that, as we're learning today, is the key to discovering our true selves, our true sovereign selves. Because as someone once wisely said, divine sound is the cause of all manifestation. The knower of the mystery of sound knows the mystery of the whole universe. And with that being said, it is now time for our last round for today, which is the wisdom round, after which we're going to continue our conversation and go a bit deeper. And this extended conversation is one of the numerous bonuses available to members of the Action Tribe Energy Circle community. To learn more, go to my7chakras.com/join. That's my7chakras.com/join. And if you're already a member, then just check out the members area for your private podcast link. So the wisdom round, which consists of four questions so that our listeners can take note and take action. So, Matthew, what is the best piece of advice that you have ever received?
Best piece of advice I ever received was when I was a very young person. An elder told me, no matter what situation you're in, learn something from it. Gain knowledge. Even if it's somewhere you don't want to be, learn from it. You will gain wisdom from this. This will serve you.
Yeah, it's absolutely very simple. And if you could turn back time and spend 1 hour with someone who is living or dead, who would it be?
Anyone or someone that was in specifically in my life?
Oh, anyone actually.
Anyone at all? Oh my gosh. Well, I would want to have a sit down, I guess, with Yeshua or the man Jesus, if he actually existed. I have a lot of questions for
him. Yeah, me too, for sure. What is it one thing you do in the morning or maybe in the evening before you sleep that has improved the quality of your life?
Deep breathing. I found that, taking some deep breaths, whether I have the time to go into meditation after that or not, but just the simple act of taking a full exhale and full inhale and tuning into my nervous system and my body in this way, it helps everything from there.
And if you could recommend one book for our listeners today, what would it be?
This is one of the hardest questions. and for one book, for me, it's really hard, but I would say what's coming to mind in this moment, and I bounced around on this for a long time, I would say Autobiography of a Yogi. That's what's my answer today in this moment.
Wonderful. So Action Tribe, would you like to receive this book for free? Because Audible.com is offering Action Tribe, that is you, all of you, one free audiobook with a free 30-day trial. So to start listening to that particular book, which is, by the way, one of our highest recommended books. Almost everyone seems to enjoy or learn from this book. Make sure that you go to my7chakras.com/freebook. That's my7chakras.com/freebook. Get your credit and start listening on your phone or your favorite device. So Matthew, thank you so much for joining us today. Before you go, tell us one thing that you're super grateful for and how we can find you online.
I'm grateful to be alive, to be a human being on this beautiful planet this time. And you can find me at omshaman.com. That's omshaman.com.
We'll have the link in the show notes. Are you active on Instagram as well?
Yes, I am. Matthew Cosell is the profile.
So Action Tribe, if you're on Instagram right now, then take a screenshot of this episode and tag us on Instagram as well. My handle is @my7chakras. That's @my7chakras. And Matthew is @MatthewCosell. Make sure that you take a screenshot of you listening to this episode or maybe meditating or doing whatever you're doing and then we will share it with our respective communities. And as next steps, if you'd like to discover how to raise your vibration and feel better, then visit my7chakras.com/feel-better-now. So we're now going to record the extended session for our Action Tribe Energy Circle community. Do consider joining us, but if not, no worries. I hope you have a great week ahead.
Thank you for listening to My Seven Chakras at my7chakras.com. That is my, S-E-V-E-N, chakras.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.